You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
What is happening in here today isn't in any way reasonable. Chris Cody and Billy are just do-si-doing all over the studio because the Dolphins are 2-0. There are other football things to talk about.
There are?
What?
The Sunday ticket crashed. The Sunday ticket crashed in our national addiction.
Don't get me started on Sunday ticket. Yeah. Are they a sponsor of the show by chance?
No idea.
They were last year. Because
they should be paying me to not trash them on TV, because that's what I'm going to do.
How long did you lose it for? Because the addiction, you start scratching if everybody else is watching football and you're not watching football. How long was it down?
It just didn't work from the jump, and then it completely stopped working for like 20 minutes. So I was watching the Dolphins game, which was the only game on locally, but it was the crappy part of the Dolphins game. So I watched the Ravens score like 21 unanswered points on the Dolphins, and then Red Zone came back finally in time to see the Steelers shit the bed on a potential game-winning drive. And then the Dolphins-Ravens suddenly became interesting again, and I wasn't even watching it.
When you're surrounded by this, Jessica, because Billy and Chris are unreasonable in their fandom right now, and you realize you got Trubisky and you're going to 14-point fart your way down the season, unless Kenny Pickett becomes a savior, which he might be. But otherwise, the Steelers are going to be uninteresting all season. Are you bothered that you can sort of feel that unless Pickett saves the season, it's going to be a lot of not feeling like this room does after one quarter yesterday?
Like, am I jealous of Dolphins fans?
You should be.
Generally, no, not at all. I am disappointed. It's not just Mitch Trubisky. It's just that, like, the offense doesn't really give me anything. Like, it's not, like, the play calling is just so, maybe it's, they have offensive weapons, though, so it's confusing. I know it's like when your quarterback can't get the ball downfield, it doesn't matter, but, like, Deontay Johnson's really good. I think Chase Claypool's really good. I really like George Pickens. Like, they have weapons. Najee Harris is good, but the offensive line is bad in Mitch Trubisky's.
But welcome to 20 years of Dolphins football on offense, and why these guys are excited today. It's because they've got wide receivers. And Greg Cody, Homer Cody, has gone off the deep end and now is making it. It's Marino, it's Duper, it's Clayton.
I think, is what he's saying.
He did say they'd make it to the Super Bowl in his defense. I agree with him.
And win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And both of you said, and win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
How we looking today? I mean, talk of the NFL.
You know, win a few more and then we can talk.
What?
Carolina started 3-0 last season.
They did?
It's the manner of performance. It's the manner of the comeback that has you this level of enthusiastic.
Oh,
it's
no, but
your quarterback
until you did it again.
No, but
they never win in Baltimore.
Right.
By the way, I sound like I'm shitting on this. Baltimore had their starting four defensive backs out in the game. That's why Tyreek Hill was open for 10 yards. That's not supposed to happen.
All right,
that doesn't happen.
But again, you had an MVP at quarterback who had 420 yards, four touchdowns, and interceptions, and you lost.
Game of my life as a Dolphins
amazing.
Fan.
Amazing.
Well, technically, if you really do the math on their roster construction yesterday, there was many injuries to the...
He's not wrong, though.
Enough. I saw Jason Peters out there. He's good.
Right. Marcus Peters. That's a
whatever.
We were all
Jason Peters offensive
lineman. There was a Peters out there, and you felt comfortable.
You're 2-0, man.
It was his first game since 2020.
Don't let this guy rattle you. His football doesn't even use
Stay
hands.
Strong. Right, exactly.
Winningham, do you realize that Peters inherited previous credibility from the previous Peters? Because Chris Cody just thought there's a Peters in coverage. That guy must know what he's doing. I've seen him, but it's not that Peters.
I thought his name was Mark Us Peters, not Mark Peters.
What are the other games yesterday?
The Dolphins game.
The Lions. I mean, Lions fans have to be excited that their team can score.
Yeah.
I think because the Raiders are now 0-2. So I think we might have to put, are the Raiders for real, to bed? But are the Lions for real?
They are, without a doubt.
Well,
they beat Washington.
Isn't the Sun God?
They destroyed Washington.
Oh.
isn't St. Brown like the first receiver ever? He's got 8 catches or more in 8 straight games, which means like nobody knows that the Lions have buried him, but he's putting up numbers in that league. He can't be covered.
He had 9 catches, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns yesterday, and he ran for 70 yards. Goff was really, really good yesterday. I mean, McVay, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because Stafford's going to be out of the league soon, and Goff is still going to be going strong. The
overreaction Monday.
I think they already won, though, because they won a Super Bowl Monday. With Matthew Stafford.
You just took Goff. What are you doing?
But they shouldn't have won that Super Bowl. Stafford made a colossal mistake last year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs should have won that game. That should have been an interception. Stafford never wins the Super Bowl.
But what are you doing?
I'm just talking about Jared Goff. I mean, it's a Monday.
That's literally thought you were talking about golf because I think Max Homa won some tournament yesterday.
What a shot by Max.
He's great. Yeah, it's
and he's
guy.
About to have a kid, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exciting time in his life.
Yeah, for the homies, for all of us.
Golf. Got it.
Goff is playing well, though. I mean, give him some credit.
You're going to continue to...
Are you saying golf or Goff? I'm like, Jessica's right.
Saying Jared Goff.
Double down on...
I still don't know what word you're saying.
You're going to take yesterday's results and the first 2 weeks of the season, and you're going to get out there strong with all of the takes of, I love Jared Goff now, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, and also the Rams made a mistake in getting rid of Jared Goff. Even you realize why you were saying it, even though they won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And won yesterday.
And like you realized as you were saying it, the ridiculousness of where it is you.
I did.
Just to clarify, Stugat, say the name of the sport that you play at your country club.
Golf.
That's not how you
That's
usually
not how you say it.
It.
That is not.
Ask me again.
It is the word that solicits your New York accent the most. Golf.
It's a G-A sound.
Golf.
Right. Thank you. Say golf. The quarterback of the Lions.
Golf.
Yep. All right.
Stugatz comes in here today, he's been gone for a week, and he comes in here today with
Jared Goff takes.
Not just Jared Goff takes, but also, and this
having
is
a season.
Just in general, he's been traveling the globe with the Grateful Dead, and he hasn't been paying attention to things that aren't Grateful Dead. And he comes in here today and he says, I want to come out and publicly thank football. Yes. And then the next sentence right after that is, football is exhausting.
It really is. Like, I am telling you, after the witching hour, I am exhausted. I don't feel like watching football. I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep. I'm pacing around. I'm nervous. I can't believe what I just saw. We've never seen a witching hour which featured the Dolphins and the Jets at the exact same time. It was mesmerizing. It is exhausting, but at a time where I do want to thank football because I need it. Football, I need you now more than I've ever needed you.
Yeah.
I have dropped off my daughters at college. My house is silent. I have nothing to look forward to. The only thing I have to look forward to is football. And I am so thankful for Thursdays, Sundays, little doubleheader on Monday night tonight. I need football in my life more than I've ever needed it because a lot of the most important things in my life have been taken away from me. But you know who's always there for me, Dan? Football. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, doubleheader tonight, gambling, fantasy, DraftKings. They are always... I don't drop them off at college. They stay right in my house, and I watch them every Sunday. Football, thank you, and I love you.
Stugatz, when I went to college very recently, because I am very young, I got in the habit of calling my dad around the weekends just to talk about Notre Dame football games or Clemson games or Steelers, Bears games, whatever, all of my teams, the Broncos now. And it became like a little weekly ritual, and football really... Right. Keeps people together, Stu. So I wonder if you're going to have any football traditions now. Unfortunately, Northwestern lost this weekend to Southern Illinois, but I imagine you'll be
the
going to some games, right, with your daughter?
I don't think they're the
Salukis.
It's the Salukis.
Yeah, the Salukis.
So you were going, Salukis were shortened into Salukis.
Yeah.
But Syracuse won this weekend.
Syracuse did. That was a big win. Aronde Gasson's son with a game-winning catch there. Perhaps we should have him on. I don't know. That'd be a nice local story right there. Listen, I am not going to have any weekly traditions. And Dad, like, if you're listening, don't even think about calling me during Sundays, okay? I mean, just don't even think about it. My dad loves to ruin a good Sunday. He does. He talks about pickleball.
It would have been more your daughter's, I think, the story she was trying to relate to you.
Yeah, yeah, they don't not call either. Yeah.
You don't like enjoying football with people?
No, no.
Really?
No. Nope.
I call my dad all the time during football. No.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's the
Why?
Greatest.
He
Is
your dad anti to it too?
Yes, actually.
We've
come together on this one.
Don't record that conversation.
So you called dad yesterday and talked about all the Ravens defensive backs are out.
You should start recording your father. I want to hear these conversations as content.
Please
you
don't
talking
play
to
that.
Your dad. No, because you've got to be on the other side of this, Whittingham, because it is. Stay strong. It's one quarter, Whittingham.
Oh,
it's
knock it off.
Quarter. Enough of that.
It was a glorious quarter.
We know how witty is. His dad, I mean, is your dad like you?
No.
Oh, God. Imagine that. Witty. Imagine that
What's
conversation.
He like? VV?
What does that mean?
Witty, you come in, you're one quarter from being right. Three quarters into that game, they were down three touchdowns. They were down three touchdowns, and today they're the talk of the NFL in one unreasonable, hyperventilating quarter. And people are looking. Where's the guy who's going to say the negative to a thing? You're not going to find him today. Stephen A. Smith has wandered over. Oh, I can't believe how Tua is slinging it. Miami is a national team. We haven't had this feeling here in 20 years.
It was a great quarter. It was a great game. I honestly...
Great quarter? This is a great game?
No, it was.
It was a great quarter. One bad pass.
Two bad passes.
No. The other interception was not his fault. That interception was a deflection.
In the first half, he had a few bad... It wasn't great in the first half.
He did underthrow Tariq Hill on both those deep passes.
Not the second one.
What he lacks in arm strength, he makes up for in guts and guile and heart.
And moxie.
And moxie. And winning.
He was great yesterday. But that, so far in his career, is an atypical performance. It is, and so
not with Mike McDaniel.
What's their record the last 11 games?
They're 10-1 in their last.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Yep. Winner. Curious.
But then they go on the road against Tennessee towards the end of the season. They got hammered.
Yeah, that seems to be the outlier.
Yeah.
Except for three quarters yesterday, when you were resigned to being
a Dolphins fan.
Is it a three quarter game, Dan? Did we play a three quarter game?
Yep. Can we look at Billy's?
Right to the final whistle, Billy, Dan.
Chris, can you take Billy's phone and show me what he was texting? I want to see what his phone was saying. Super fan Billy, who bought a Tua shirt today.
A jersey. That's an extended level of commitment. Just a shirt is. Yeah,
it's also for God Bless Football, so you could charge that thing to the game. Play by you.
Yeah, that's getting expensive.
I want to read your texts that you were sending people when it was 35-14.
A lot of shit about you guys. Yeah.
Tua was amazing yesterday. Period. The end.
No. I want to see about the time that they were throwing to River K-Craft is where it is that I want.
K-Craft.
He's good.
I have texts here about Father of the Bride with Anthony too, but I don't know if you want those. That movie.
I want someone to take your phone because I think you're going to take me through your phone, the most meandering parts that don't actually show me anything. I believe that you weren't pro Tua in that third quarter yesterday. I don't believe you were buying a jersey. I believe you'd made that decision in the fourth quarter yesterday as a Peters.
It was after the game, for sure.
As the wrong Peters was running.
I was searching at 11:30 at night. I was searching on Twitter just to see the blue check marks and what they were saying about Tua and how much crow was being eaten yesterday. So great.
Would he take up the lane? It's Chris Sims. It's Chris Long. Chris Long is willing to get his tattoo.
Bill Simmons has been very anti-Tua as well. And there are times where that fan side of me comes out where I want to defend my guy, but I haven't really felt the inclination until yesterday. Now, I still have to work more towards it. I have to develop more of that emotional connection towards Tua.
Oh, yeah, we don't want you. Stay over there.
I haven't had it yet.
No, guess what? This isn't on your timeline, bucko. It's today or you're out.
Yep.
So make a decision because it's not just you get to decide to come on whenever you feel like it. Today or you're out.
Wow.
Yep.
Can you get me into the end of the show? I want to take some time to deliberate.
You can have a little bit of time, but today is the deadline for everybody.
By the end of the show?
Last day for everyone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals are 0-2, so now everyone can say that is going to be a reverting to the mean because Joe Burrow probably is not going to be able to be better than Tua was in that fourth quarter if you get him sacked 10 times a game, every game that he is playing.
I mean, he did it last year, all the way to the Super Bowl.
He did, but 0-2 generally is not a hole that gets climbed out of. Honestly, Matt Ryan in Jacksonville, that is the petering fumes of awful.
Dan, he's 0-2 quickly in a really, well, I would say a bad division. Like, the Browns don't get Watson back until week 12. The Steelers aren't very good. We'll see what the Ravens are, but, like, I'm not giving up on the Bengals
yet.
We'll
see what the Ravens are.
I mean, listen, they lost to the Dolphins, blew a big lead, four safeties out. I mean, I don't know if they're good. Do you? I don't know if anyone's good. I mean, the Ravens, I have no idea.
The Ravens and Lamar Jackson tend to be pretty good. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year, but
no.
The health. All of this goes in the tube if Tyreek Hill sprains an ankle.
Oh, shut up. Enough of this. Chris has my phone, by the way.
I'm looking at a text between Stugatz and Billy.
Yeah.
And it's Stugatz saying, let's call the Dolphins tomorrow, see if we can get Tua, Waddle, and Hill all at the same time.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, we'll sit down with the three of them.
A round table, yeah.
Who
yeah,
else would want that table. Today? I don't feel like anyone else is making that ask today.
Right. Yeah.
You made that ask seriously? That had to be.
I'd take one of them. I mean, it doesn't have to be all three.
He's not making the ask. You asked he's asking three. Billy to make the ask.
No, yeah, come on.
You ask for three, you get one, and then it's a win. You know?
Exactly.
He also wants to reach out to the Jets for Flacco.
Yes. I already did, by the way.
Oh, yeah? And the Lions for Campbell and goalie.
We have to have Dan Campbell. We do. I felt so good for Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. I mean,
it clearly. Is almost soup season.
We're going to bring in Mike Schur here and do stat of the day, but also in the middle of yesterday, when life doesn't go Tom Brady's way, man, he gets angry.
Yeah.
He threw a Microsoft tablet. He picked it up just to throw it.
He's 2-0. I mean,
I know, but he was furious because for half of the game they only had a field goal, and that's not good for the brand.
I think he just misses Gronkowski. That for me is what I see in his face as he's yelling at receivers. They're not where they're supposed to be. And I think he's just yelling, Gronk would be there. Can you just be Gronk, please?
He'll be there for the playoffs.
Good shout.
And Evans is saying, I can be Gronk, but not when it's Lattimore. And I'm just going to fight him now.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought three for my wife, daughter, and myself for game one. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Dan Le Batard.
Oh, I think Larry Fitzgerald's on the green right there.
Stugatz.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro. How do you think that Larry Fitzgerald is?
The son.
Oh, the son.
To be fair.
All right, whatever. Oh.
Alfonso Ribeiro has a great ass.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Let's do stat of the day here with Mike Schur. Thank you for joining us. You've got football observations before we get started, don't you? What was the stuff that you were enjoying yesterday?
First of all, what a weekend for this podcast. Am I right?
Yeah.
The Dolphins with a crazy comeback, the Jets with a crazy comeback. You all get to dunk on Whittingham all day for being anti-Tua. Three of Jessica's eight favorite teams won, and five of them lost, I think. I've lost track.
Thank you.
All I could think the whole weekend was, what a fun football Monday this is going to be for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz.
I haven't even mentioned the Miami Hurricanes.
I feel like
losing.
This is a setup for him to poop on us.
Something's coming.
Happy for us, guys.
Nah, I see he's smirking. This is leading somewhere.
Unlike Chris Whittingham, I'm all in. I'm pro Tua. I'm on the bandwagon.
Today was the deadline. I'm glad.
I've heard today's the deadline, and I'm getting my application in under the wire.
You want a jersey? I can send you one. What size are you?
No, thank you. Oh. I'm 46 years old. I'm not going to wear a football jersey.
When's the last
my
time
house?
You wore a jersey?
Yeah.
Like ever a Red Sox jersey?
I probably haven't worn an actual jersey. I have some T-shirts that I wear.
Jersey. Yeah. I love a jersey.
Jerseys. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've worn a jersey. I had a Nomar Garciaparra jersey that I wore in probably 2003 before he was traded.
So no Liverpool jerseys? Because soccer jerseys kind of wear like shirts.
Yeah, no, I can't. I haven't quite been able to convince myself that it's a good idea for me to wear a Liverpool kit.
Wow. What about Dan Levitard? When's the last time you wore a jersey?
No.
Never?
No.
You've never worn
a
jersey?
No, I would not be.
Not even in youth sports. He took his own shirt. Wow.
I wore a dress shirt and a tie. I played youth sports. let's go ahead and do stat of the day with Mike Schur. I do want to talk more football with him, though.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
It is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Some of you might have seen this, but Next Gen Stats put out an incredible stat, which was that when Kyler Murray converted that two-point conversion, he ran a total of nearly 85 yards in order to score 2 points, which is amazing. But that made me wonder, as an unpaid stats intern, who had run the most in a season without scoring a touchdown. And according to StatMuse, in 1978, Joe Washington, Oklahoma Sooner legend, Joe Washington of the Baltimore Colts, had 956 yards rushing without scoring a single rushing TD. And if you want to go deep dive on this, the craziest part is there was a Monday night game that year. He played the Patriots. And in the fourth quarter, he returned a kickoff for 90 yards and a touchdown. And in that game, he had also thrown a touchdown and caught a pass for a touchdown. He was the first NFL player ever to throw a TD, catch a pass for a TD, and return a kick for a TD in the same game. So one game, he scored 3 TDs. None of them were on the ground. He didn't score a rushing touchdown the entire season. Also, and I know you'll love this, the coach of that Baltimore Colts team, Ted Marchibroda.
Oh, wow.
One of the great football names of all time.
That's a man who loved to punt. I mean,
Mike, I want to do a little experiment with you before you leave. Can you say Franco Harris's name slowly?
Franco Harris.
Slower.
Franco Harris.
All right, he knows.
Yeah, he knows.
What do I know?
Well, no, he's his name. All his name. All his life.
Before
Chris Cody,
yeah, before
Chris
today, I thought his name was Frank
O'Harris.
I thought his name was Frank O'Harris.
He thought he was Irish. apostrophe Harris. Yes. Why did you ask Mike Schur that?
I need an ally. I'm going to ask every guest that for the next year.
Okay. Please do.
All right. That's
you'll get one.
Just
you'll
like
get one.
That, you're going to ask them. You think you're going to find someone else who thought.
Oh, of course I'll do that for you, Frank. Oh, Harris. Oh, yes.
Mike, you have written a best-selling book about ethics. You are a world-renowned, internationally known ethicist, and we were talking earlier in the show about what is happening in America. The sports fans are the worst outside of Brown's tailgate, where they feel the need to take the side, not just the side of Deshaun Watson, but vigorously, just to be unpleasant.
Yeah, that was rough, that shot that somebody put on Twitter. I can't believe this. Joe Posnanski, with whom I do the podcast here on Meadowlark Media, is a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan who, like Mike Ryan, abandoned them after they signed Deshaun Watson, is no longer a Browns fan. And if you're interested, he is this entire season is adopting one team a week to see if he can become a fan of another team. This past weekend, it was the Bengals. It didn't work. But I adopted the Browns myself in part because I like Joe and I want him to be happy. And I have a thing, being a Red Sox fan who suffered greatly until 2004, I have a thing for long-suffering fan bases. I root for the Lions. I rooted for the Bengals kind of in the Super Bowl. Like I'm rooting for the Bills this year. I want them to win. I don't like it when fan bases have to suffer for decades and decades. So I was sort of a Browns fan. I rooted for them to win. And in one swift move, they went for me from being a team that I was rooting for because of their misery and suffering to me hoping that they lose in exactly the way they lost on Sunday every single week. I want their franchise to be humiliated. I want their owner to be humiliated. I want him to have to sell the team. I want them to be gutted each and every Sunday because they have just not only done something awful, but their fan base is now rallying around the guy and they are acting like it's all just part of the business of being in football. And I think that's unconscionable. So yeah, I mean that shot of that mannequin or whatever that they set up and the way in which this tribalism is rallying around a guy who does not deserve to be rallied around is pretty rough. And I hope they lose every game.
Are you hate watching anybody like that? That's rabid for you.
No. Yeah. I mean, I hate watch very few teams. I hate watch the Cowboys, which usually works out pretty well for me, and the Yankees, which usually does not work out well for me. But Joe and I were actually talking about this last week on the show for some reason, football, and I think this says something very bad about the game of football. It brings out a Schadenfreude bloodlust in me that I don't have in other sports. Like besides the Yankees, there's no other baseball team that I root against that way. There's no basketball team except for, the Miami Heat kind of I root against, but football makes me angry and it makes me actively root virulently against certain franchises like the Cowboys and the Ravens and now this and the Steelers and now the Browns, the entire AFC North basically except for the Bengals. So yeah, I don't know what it is about the game. I think it has a tendency to bring out the worst tribalism in all of us.
You're saying that it makes you root against people like that's a bad thing. Like that's the best part about football.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think you're wrong. I think that to like football is to feel those dark, evil, unpleasant feelings, maybe more strongly than you feel the positive feelings for your own team. At least that's the case in my world. I think I feel the Emperor Palpatine hatred, and I want to shoot lightning out of my fingers against franchises. Don't worry about it. I think I feel that way more strongly than I do feel the like positive feelings towards the teams that I actually like.
Are you an existentialist?
But that can't be good.
Mike?
That's bad. What's that?
Are you an existentialist?
Jesus.
I have certain existentialist tendencies, yeah. Why do you ask?
I don't know, because I think we have a similar viewpoint on it, and I probably would consider myself an existentialist. That's all.
Well, he's a world-renowned ethicist.
Stugatz, are you an existentialist, would you say?
I don't know.
By the way, welcome back.
You
How
tell
was your
me.
Trip? You were gone for like, 4 or 5 weeks?
I was gone for, 2 weeks. And to answer your question, I love eggs, yes.
I've got two baseball questions for you, Mike. Juan Soto, can you explain to me why he would get to San Diego and after turning down $440 million? Because I think there's a think piece in here somewhere. And now have the slugging percentage, the 15th lowest slugging percentage since getting over there. 23 years old and everyone associates your name if they're learning about you outside of baseball for the first time with. He turned down $440 million?
Yeah, it's probably a fluke mixed with switching ballparks, a different batter's eye. That park has historically suppressed offense a fair amount. Some years it's not as bad as other years, but it's not a great park for hitters. But it's a fluke. He'll be back. He'll be fine. Every great hitter goes through a period of 6 weeks where they don't hit very well, and he happened to go through that period right when he switched teams. He's playing in a different time zone. Like, baseball players are delicate and fragile, and they're creatures of habit, and all of his habits had to change very quickly from the East Coast to the West Coast. I wouldn't read too much into it. He'll still get $440 million or whatever he'll get when he's a free agent. It's sad because they got hit with a double whammy when Tatis did not come back because of the PED thing. And then Soto also didn't perform up to standards. I think they still make the playoffs, and I think they'll probably win their play-in game. And they could still make noise in the playoffs, but it's just a bummer for that franchise that they did this cool thing and they went out and got him, traded a lot of good prospects for him, and he hasn't quite performed up to expectations. But I wouldn't read too much into it. He'll be fine.
Noise being made in the playoffs. Chris, Cody, Jessica just whispered in my ear something that made me think. What do you think Franco O'Harris looks like? When you imagined the running back of at the end,
because
of the,
his name is now just Frank.
Frank Gore. I'm saying
I was thinking that you thought he was like a red-haired Irish lad.
Yes.
Well, I'm just I thought
freckles.
I thought Dan was doing the thing like, how many black Franks do you know? And like, you know, there it could be Frank.
Well,
you were beating me to the punch before
answering my question.
He's two steps
you
ahead.
You defensively
Dan.
Said Frank Gore. Right.
It's not the Frank part that's confusing.
Yeah. It's the O'Harris.
The O'Harris makes him Irish.
Yes.
It makes him look like you.
Okay, so you
looks like
every historic
Colin Montgomery.
There's some people you see. I've only just heard that name. Yeah. I've never seen him before.
Chris, you lied preemptively to not be accused.
Why can't Frank Gore be Irish?
It's a good question.
You lied.
Franco Gore.
Preemptively to stave off accusations of racism.
Can I just be an idiot?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugatz.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Mike Ryan has parachuted in from Dallas, where he saw his college football team kick 3 field goals and lose.
Hey, we kicked 5 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
3 went in.
And then you went to go watch Cooper Rush in a stadium that Jessica has dismissed as antiseptic.
That's an interesting take on it. Certainly, look, that stadium holds 100,000 people, and Kyle Field also holds over 100,000 people. And it is a stark difference in terms of atmosphere.
Yes. That's all I'm saying. Like, there's a lot, like going to Arrowhead Field, for example, probably is a much different fan experience if you're a neutral fan than
Jerry World. No, I've been to
Jerry
Arrowhead.
World.
Well,
look at me. There's also the weird thing with the sun. Did you have to look into
the
sun?
I was very excited that I had one of those games, but the sun was at my back. The coolest part about being in Jerry World yesterday was for the Cooper Rush experience, because hearing cocky cowboy fan after that field goal goes in, I am telling you, I heard scores of people trade Dak Prescott. Scores.
Right.
I mean, they're loving it. Ooh, the Bengals. My God, that offensive line.
Well,
is
before we
bad.
Get all your.
I thought they fixed it.
Before we get. Didn't Lyle Collins go there and say that to Burrow, you'll never have to worry again? Your bodyguard's in town. Nobody's going to touch you.
They are really bad inside. They have the talent on the outside, and they've addressed a quarterback position. They'll be back, but this year seems like a lost season.
Were the Cowboys in play for your fandom? You love Cooper Rush. No. I know that.
No, actually, the most interesting part of yesterday's NFL football, and it was a great day of NFL football, cool thing about Jerry World is, much like a lot of the NFL stadiums now, they have the red zone there. And yesterday, I had my moment when I realized I genuinely don't care about the Cleveland Browns anymore. It's not just me pushing forward and keeping this up and forcing myself. When I saw the Jets come back and beat the Browns...
You're rooting against your team
now?
No, Dan.
Apathy. I felt nothing. You realize if this happened last year, how devastated I'd be on that football weekend. Just devastated. Browns inventing new ways to lose. I saw that game unfold, and I felt nothing, and I was really proud of myself.
That seems hard to believe. It doesn't sound very human. Is it because Jacoby Brissett will kill your soul that way?
I felt nothing generally.
A lot of Browns fans feel that because Dolphin fans have felt it, and Colts fans now long for the day of Jacoby Brissett because they're going through the tattered remains of Matt Ryan. Before we get to
they long for the days of Carson Wentz.
Before we get to your football analysis, and before we get to your allegiances, because you're decked out in NFL gear here, and Chris Cody was mocking you, saying you looked like corporate free agent fan, didn't care, no emotions. He said all your social media was just you were there to survey the premises and see if the NFL would like to have you as a fan.
You were just like no smiling. You're just like, nope. I'm here.
Both teams having fun. I was saying good call, Stripes. That was one of the things. After my wife can attest, you know how they have they have those field judges. There's these guys in these red NFL hats that are on suits. And I actually saw them walking out of Cowboys Stadium while I was walking out. I'm like, guys,
you look like a ref.
We did great. Where'd you get the red one?
Protecting the brand.
You didn't even at least bet the game to give it a little feel?
I bet Cowboys. I just as well would have bet the other team. I like the Cowboys entering that game off to a rocket. Fueled fire start.
Yes, you're doing great in text to me, not in our DraftKings parlays that you could share with everybody. But
do you have different versions of this, or is it just the same ones over and over, like the shirt and stuff?
Oh,
is it stinky? Because you've been
no. So I wore my black shirt yesterday. I only have one of these, so thankfully. The NFL dropped a whole new line. I have one shirt that it's just all 32 logos.
That can't sell well. It cannot sell well to just be NFL. Like, there's no way that has to be bringing up the rear in things that are purchased in sports memorabilia. Whoever's running that department has to have, like, he's got to be mocked as a failure by all the other NFL people because that can't be selling.
I went to the pro shop, was very disappointed that there was just no blank NFL stuff. This is a cathedral of sport. You'd think that Jerry World would have something touting the league that he's an owner of. It's a shame.
You got the Miami Heat store having a ref jersey?
Yeah. Well, I got to get one of those. I'm telling you, I'm having a blast just being a supporter of the NFL. In 2 weeks, I'm going to see Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes.
Nice.
And I'm just going to be clapping the entire time. There was one unsportsmanlike that I was like, no place for that. And I got very upset.
You sound like George Bluth in Arrested Development in jail saying, I'm having the time of my life.
No, it's great. I am telling you, there is something to this. I am so happy every week.
Mike, you posted the video of the game-winning field goal, and you were just emotionless.
Yeah, no, that's a branding play for me.
That's
a branding play.
Do you guys realize?
Generally, I feel nothing but joy. Like, inside, I'm like, yeah, that field goal goes in, but... two teams play. They both have fun. I'm good.
Mike, you never root for a team again? Is that where we're headed?
I don't think I am.
Wow.
Here's the only way that if one of these atmospheres really comes out and grabs me, and that might actually happen in Buffalo, where they might physically grab me against my will, I'm really loving this.
We are
this is the best thing I've ever done from a fan perspective.
I want you guys to notice what's happening with the emotions of the room, all right? Jessica's a little sad because the Steelers are
please don't speak for me. They're
only one of your eight teams, but she knows that she's headed for Trubisky 14-point land. Billy and Chris Cody are totally unreasonable about where their expectations are.
I have
an
important update on that. I've been tracking. The jersey has shipped.
Wow. That's quick.
Scheduled arrival
Billy
September 21st.
Billy is now officially Tua. He has bought merch.
Not sure if it's going to fit or not, but I'm not. Listen, I'm being fat shamed over by Tony, who looks like a totally different person with that stupid haircut.
Whoa. I'm not going to respond to that.
Back
Dan.
To the show.
Nor should you.
Stan hasn't commented on it either, by the way. He's looked at me three times and hasn't said anything, so I'm just going to keep it.
I know what you're doing, Stugatz, for the sake of the marriage. Look at him and tell me that's the same person, because there's no way you're looking at him the same way.
Stugatz is the person we should be asking.
From the neck up, it is a totally different person, but I'm only concerned with the neck down.
Is it a good Jesus?
What?
Hell yeah.
Well. Any particular reason you did that?
You're not even being clever with it. You're just straight up sexually harassing him at this point.
Yep.
Back to our NFL fandom. Witty's just rooting to be right about Tua.
Thank you.
Just to get us back on track.
There's a lot of that. I kind of recognize it a little bit, Witty. Like, it's clouding your analysis. Yeah. You just want to be right so badly about Tua that you can't just
recognize
and
it,
appreciate.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Been there, man. But no longer. I have purged myself of that, and now I am living my best life, and I am telling you, by the end of this season, you're all going to be rocking the shield. I'm telling you right now,
Mike, you have to go to the Super Bowl, because at the store in the convention center where they have the NFL experience, everything there is just selling you. There's very little team gear. It's just, here's football stuff.
Valhalla. Oh. The Super Bowl, a celebration of two of the best football teams. Oh, I cannot wait. I am genuinely so happy. This has done wonders for my mental
health. It's really a celebration of the sport, Mike, more than anything. The teams are irrelevant at the Super Bowl. You're just celebrating football for a week.
God bless football.
At the Super Bowl, they have the NFL logo as the logo 50-yard long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Midfield. Yes, I know. You're getting excited, aren't you?
Don't have to tell me twice ago.
If you want to be a fan of the sport without all of the other, you know, corporate things that go into it and the money and all of the fandom, why don't you just be a college football fan?
Oh, I'm that too, but that is
pure amateur football.
No. pure. That was something. We joke around. It's a cult, not a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. Cult. It's a culty cult. But it's also super fun, and they're also super nice, as people would be if they wanted you to join their cult. That's why they're nice.
Can you give us like a weird experience or two that your interactions maybe like what was it like for you?
Well, a huge bummer was my car rental. It died while I was tailgating. I was getting to the drop of Fireball, and was like, bah, 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 bah.
Wow,
and it's a shame. The car died. And so that was a problem, because I needed to be in Dallas for the second leg of the Texas two-step. And shout out to the car rental place. I called them. I'm like, hey, this car died. It's not my problem. I need a new car. The car rental center is in Houston. Someone got in my rental car, drove it over to my hotel, had one waiting there for me. So shout out to the nameless car rental center for making sure that I got to the Cowboys game in time. But that was a real bummer. But what was awesome was the atmosphere. There's the 107,000 people, you feel it. They're down on your neck. They are mad weird. It's odd. They're doing their dances. They're doing the U upside down, which, as you know, Dan, is a trigger for
it
me.
It enrages you.
It
yes.
is a trigger for Even me. Though? I gave a lot of people the finger, the middle one. Wow. I gave a lot of people
this
the middle finger.
This does not fit, though. This does not fit with you're now ended. You're headed into professional football, and what you're describing is just general rooting. A very general
joy.
Just general rooting.
Joy. I actually think you're the person that got me on this track, because you kind of divested yourself from the Dolphins emotion. Maybe the team did that for you, but the way that you experience football Sundays, it's basically football rah-rah.
And super interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting things are happening.
Yeah.
Popcorn is popping.
It is actually the perfect way to cleanse myself if my college team lets me down. There is no letting me down on football Sundays. And now I get a doubleheader on Monday night. Are you kidding me?
This is the group. The group, they can't talk enough about when you got the snowflake. You don't want the snowflake near you, but when you got the fire and fantasy,
you need the flames.
They've been talking.
Oh, the flames
are the
best.
They've been talking nonstop in this language. But Billy, before we do that,
wow, guys, Witty got paid out 2 weeks in a row now.
2 weeks in a row, I've gotten paid out in the Levitard and Friends contest. What is it? dkng.co/Levitard. If you want to participate.
Wow. Yeah.
Billy, you have you've gotten into all of this fantasy stuff as well. But as soon as Mike Ryan arrived and he hit the look at me, Louie, it made me think. I didn't know whether you wanted to get out there publicly with the shocking take that you had about David Beckham, because I don't. It's too late now.
Well, I guess
now.
We're here now. Aren't
I'm in too deep now because you were accusing him about being a look at me, Louie, with his grieving.
I said David Beckham. Not sure that we were waiting in that whole line, and I don't know why we had to make that a thing. Little look at me, Louie, going to visit the Queen Mom. Look at me,
Louie. 12 hours waited with the people.
13 hours. I mean, spent 12 of it on TV.
I read 14 hours.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
There's no way.
I read 24 hours. I'm not even kidding. I read 24 hours for the line.
He got in that line as soon as he found out she was ill.
Yeah.
Beckham, you're not. Which part are you not believing that he is?
Any of it, really? If I'm going to be honest, you think David Beckham was standing in line with commoners?
It was
for
documented
14 hours?
By television cameras.
It's called a queue, first of all. So we should probably get that right.
I don't understand the cynicism because there are also people in Britain who are getting criticized, politicians namely, for allowing their friends to cut the line so they can pay their respects to the Queen. You have David Beckham who could very easily call any connection in the world.
And every news platform to go document it.
David Beckham is surrounded by cameras at all times.
There is no shortage of news outlets covering the Queen's funeral.
Whittingham, the line was 24 hours. Beckham did it in 13. So explain that. He cut someone, right?
We should criticize him.
I mean,
came 24 thereafter.
Stugatz, how many people would you call to get to the front of that line?
I mean, I wouldn't wait in line to see someone who's already passed away. Can we leave the Queen alone? I mean, can we bury her already? Can we put her 6 feet under?
There's a process.
No.
It takes 10 days. No. It's been outlined for hundreds of years.
This poor lady, we are taking her around. All she wants to do is rest. Okay, it's over.
In peace.
We are taking her around these back roads up to Scotland, here, there, everywhere. Just let the lady rest, okay? I know that she mapped out the entire plan after she passed away, but I'm telling you, if she was alive right now and she looked at her plan, she would have said to herself, what a horrible plan. Just listen, when I pass away, put me 6 feet under, call it a day.
She wouldn't have wanted any of this. Yeah. None of it. And then Rosie Ruiz Beckham over here making a big deal about waiting in the line. And then you wonder, how did he get to the front? I don't know.
Stugatz, I think you're Jewish, and Jewish customs are that you were buried very soon after passing away, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, maybe that's just your preference because that's what you're used to in your religion.
I'm telling you, if she had the choice right now, if she can come out of that casket and say, hey, if I had to do this over again, just put me 6 feet under. Back roads through Scotland? Let the lady rest. She's done enough.
She did pass away in Scotland at Balmoral, her summer estate.
She already made the trip then. I mean, time for the trip underground, you know? I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm saying this is what she would want.
No,
you're protecting her.
I think
this is a vigorous defense of her.
Lots of selfish people
Listen, go to work. I mean, for 3 weeks you've been standing on the side of roads watching a casket drive by.
Get back to work, England.
Get back to work.
Okay, get back
and
to work.
And leave the Queen alone. She worked for 98 years.
96.
Whatever.
Fine. Get back to work. I haven't seen you since before she died. It's a real stat.
Just let her rest, Mike.
It's not too much to ask.
I think we're all just a little afraid to say anything because there's been a lot of discourse policing on social media. For example, I texted Chris Cody a few weeks ago. Well, after she passed away.
It's happening. It's in the drafts.
All right. Jokingly giving him an idea for his Twitter account. I won't say what the idea was. And he said
that the Queen died. The slow report.
He had already gotten admonished on Twitter for making a joke about something similar.
I did. The slow report has already deleted a tweet that like some people.
You can't do that.
It was a couple weeks ago. It was my second tweet because the first one was a banger. The first one, the Juan Soto one, was a banger. So I was like, the next day I was like, all right, I gotta come strong with the second day, and it was right. It was like a week after the Vin Scully passing. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna report that Vin Scully has passed away.
Was that like 2 years ago? No.
And. And I tweeted out sources, Vin Scully, and then like two comments right away, too soon. Come on, Chris, not with deaths. So I deleted it. I got scared. Wow. I didn't want to get canceled.
The slow but report. But as a fake Twitter account that's the slow report, that is satire,
right,
that is purposely 2 weeks behind the news, you're afraid. You
but I'm not afraid
scared
to do it with the Queen, because America has shown me you can make jokes about this. This is open game for joking. People have done it a lot, so I'm going to right
is
now send out a tweet from
because
the slow report.
This is open for joking. Why? Why is this
I'm
one
just
around?
Saying, I've noticed Twitter. I don't know if you guys noticed. It was Twitter was very quick to start making jokes about the Queen passing. I thought it was a little insensitive, but I'm not going to, you know, if they're going to do it, I can do it.
Excellent leadership, as always, from you. Forever
the
follower.
He's not going to make any of the jokes, but he will laugh at all of them privately.
I'm just reporting the news.
Yeah.
And he's making sure he gets it right. Is that such a crime?
Elizabeth's with a Z, right? Not an S. All right.
What was the cultiest thing that you got ensnared in at Texas A&M? I do think it's funny that Jimbo Fisher has cashed in an awful lot as we watch the remnants of Jameis Winston's career in Game 2 playing with 74 broken ribs. And the Bucks just saying afterward, their cornerbacks being quoted as saying, well, you saw what happened last year when he was on that last year when he was on our team. We knew we were going to get the ball thrown to us. Jimbo Fisher is somebody who's terrible at quarterbacks. He gets that quarterback and is terrible at all the others, and they're not any good.
No, they're not very good, but they're also 5 years into their program, so when they suspend a bunch of DBs, their fourth and fifth DB guys are better than most teams' first guys. That what happened on Saturday, I actually thought it is encouraging because the game went exactly how we thought. Miami, once that Restrepo news hit midweek, you knew that Tyler Van Dyke didn't have anybody that he could trust. By the way, Xavier Restrepo would be the punt returner, one, and we saw that game turned on that muff punt. That was Texas A&M's most explosive play. Brad Johnson's kid is not a good quarterback. Miami outgained them. They had 27 first downs.
It was his first start, though, right?
No, he started at LSU.
Okay.
Yeah.
First start at A&M, I should say. Yeah.
Mike, you're not doing the moral victory thing, though.
No, it's not a moral victory.
Cristobal did that, and it upset me. Like,
no, it's not a moral victory. The encouraging thing is you have two guys, Mirabal and Cristobal, that said that they were going to fix an offensive line, and they did. They did not fall on their face in a primetime game, even though it's very embarrassing to not score a touchdown. A couple years later, one more offseason, you address wide receivers in the portal, you recruit hard, you start sacking talent, and you won't have yourself in a situation where a Xavier Restrepo injury is devastating to your chances of winning. So I'm very encouraged by it. The game went exactly how we all thought. That's year five for Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M.
My point is he's made a lot of money there. He made a lot of money there.
85. That was the banter that I was giving back at people. I'm like, $85 million buyout to have a one-score
deserve every penny.
To have one score win over a fairly anemic Miami team is not the greatest look for Texas A&M, and now their schedule gets really hard.
Well, I think one of the concerns, and you can tell me if you're concerned about it or not, is Mario Cristobal having the same conservative tendencies at Miami that he was known for at Oregon in terms of not going for touchdowns, not trying to, you know, get a kill shot, managing the clock poorly and drives poorly at the end of the game. Like, do you think those are things that he'll actually change?
We were conservative, but I think we had to be in that game. I would have liked to see them not kick that field goal when they were inside the five, but you know, the whole plan was, as I've told you for months leading into this game, they were going to muck it up and try to make it tight in the fourth quarter and see if they can make plays. I'd say that the argument for having a more conservative approach was there once Restrepo went down. I think they were probably too conservative in their earlier games against Bethune.
They had 27 first downs. You're saying that they moved the ball.
Here's what I mean,
with drops, even with missed throws from Van Dyke, it wasn't perfect in the game.
They didn't give their receivers any opportunities earlier in the season to gain confidence. And for Tyler Van Dyke to gain confidence in them, my main mental image of that is Tyler sitting in the pocket with loads of time, hopping on his feet, trying to see who can make a play. They had 7 drop passes. They didn't make one contested catch. They were bad. Like, we knew that they were bad entering this season, entering this game. He lost his safety blanket. They lost the game. It'll be fine. They're going to get better. I'd be way more concerned if I were a Texas A&M fan. I think Miami's going to get better as the year progresses, and certainly as the years progress. And yes, I know that that was a book out on Mario Cristobal that he was conservative at Oregon. And that conservative approach actually worked. They had no business winning that Ohio State game last year. So I'm going to believe in the process and have this coach.
You sound like you're giving press conference.
No, but it's
like it's weird, Mike.
You're going to believe in the process.
Like Miami was a 5-point
Mike, you lost
dog.
To a team that lost to Appalachian State.
That's what Dan says when he wants you to get emotional and cry. He accuses you of being
No, but I mean, he's sitting here talking about UM.
He did it with me last
Restrepo-less,
weekend.
The Restrepo-less UM. Like, these are two second-tier programs, both of them. Texas A&M and Miami are second-tier programs. They're not Nebraska embarrassing. They're not in that anywhere okay, in that round.
Texas A&M has plenty of signs around town that say we beat Bama. They beat Bama last year. They have loads of talent. There is a talent discrepancy there between the two teams. Jimbo has this really conservative offense, and they got the muff punt. They got the
win.
He doesn't
find quarterbacks after Jameis Winston. He made all his money off of Jameis Winston.
They have a highly touted freshman quarterback that
we don't have any evidence that he'll be good.
No,
right?
I think that there are legitimate questions about Jimbo Fisher. I'd be worried.
But that's sort of the point, though, isn't it? Like
you think Miami is at the point, given what we saw last year, to make up all that ground in one offseason?
No, I don't. Yeah. But I think
Appalachian State.
But to
did.
Me, what mm-hmm. Saturday mm-hmm. proved is that Mario Cristobal is going to need to make it up in recruiting, and he probably will because he's very good at it. But that game was there for the taking for the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah, which
they should have absolutely won that game. At a certain point, Texas A&M was not going to score any more points, and they kicked 5 field goals. They ran on a 3rd and 6 with the intent to kick a field goal to make it an 8-point game. They were not trying when it was there for the taking
with just a little bit
more of an aggressive approach.
Yeah, I see what you guys are doing.
Get him a wheelbarrow.
They let him off the hook.
What are we doing?
They had the plays.
You should be pissed, man. That guy cost you thousands of dollars to watch him lose.
Yeah, bad trip.
Just for the record, Mike,
send him an invoice.
What are you guys doing?
I'm not piling on because I think there are some similarities here with having a first-year head coach that's coaching a little conservatively and doesn't have the players that you think they will probably have by year 2 and 3. So there is a little bit of wait and see. And then there's also the question of aren't we Miami? Shouldn't we have, how did this program get to be this way? And so that's kind of the internal frustration as a fan with, the expectations being really high because you are a brand name and you have a lot of hopes for your program. And then a coach coming in that you're like, I think this guy's going to be great. And then the results on the field aren't there yet.
Right. No, it's definitely like losing at home to Marshall.
John Ruiz isn't paying this guy $8 billion.
You played 2 games so far against Bethune-Cookman and Southern Miss. Yeah.
Thank you for mentioning Marshall. Real quick, Mike also, part of his great gambling over the last few weeks is that all the Sun Belt teams that won the week before bet against them the next week when they go back in the conference, and all of them looked vastly less impressive the next week. That's something that happened.
I lost that money line on Troy, too. That Appalachian State Hail Mary was a gut punch. Yeah, thankfully, Bowling Green beat Marshall, who beat Notre Dame earlier in the season, so I guess that's a
stupidity curse.
By the transitive property, then we can also say Bowling Green's better than Notre Dame.
Well, Ryan Day came on and he won. I mean,
well, but I want to ask Billy and Stugat about.
I was defending you, Mike. By the way,
me too.
So for the rest of the season, watch out. All right, watch out now. There's no friendship here. I was trying to be nice.
Not
I wasn't
friends.
Trying
you
to bury
me,
the dagger.
Friends.
Watching Miami was painful. I took a 2-hour nap during that game because nothing was happening.
It started so late.
Yeah, 9 o'clock started.
9 o'clock started. Right. I drank an Aperol Spritz, took a 2-hour nap, woke up at midnight. There was still a quarter left, and no one had scored.
People want to eat your tears, Mike. You can't be general fan about UM the way you are about the NFL.
We're building a program here. This is year one. You're not.
We're building a program.
I mean, we should spend some of that NIL money on kickers, not on this quarterback.
You mentioned Marshall, and you mentioned Marshall and stupidity. Stugat.
Yeah.
I saw that Coach Charles Huff was on stupidity.
Coach H.
And he offered you sideline tickets and the ability to call the first play.
Yes. Yeah. That was under the umbrella of his team would still be undefeated when they got to Appalachian State. Yeah. Unfortunately, they lost. It would have been a great time with Coach Huff.
It was going to be, honestly, we were building up to the game of the year. Appalachian State was going to head over to Marshall. It was going to be the 2 Cinderella teams of the season.
Yeah.
And Coach Huff told us if he kept the train on the tracks, headed up to it, We can go do the show from there. Stugatz can call a play. We can see different tunnel. We can
but
have silent pass, all that stuff.
Stugatz was rooting to not have to do any
of
that.
No, why?
You
why?
Bet your ass
no
I
way.
Was.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.